Time to get on set, walk the runway, and get scouted. ModelScouts.com proudly presents Model Talk Radio with your host, Aaron Marcus. In this program, you'll learn how to get discovered, find work, and navigate the business of modeling and acting. And now, here is your host, Aaron Marcus.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, your host on Model Talk Radio. So for the next hour, we're going to be talking about the acting and the modeling industry. And this forum will give you the opportunity to learn, ask questions, and hopefully stop dreaming and instead begin the process of working as an actor and or model. Now, many people have mentioned to me that they were always interested in acting or modeling for themselves or for their children, or they were told that they should be in magazine ads or on TV, but just simply never pursued it. And perhaps they mistakenly thought that they were too old, not tall enough, they didn't live in a major market, or maybe they had no idea how to go about doing this. What I found is that quite often, without the right information and guidance, people are simply too scared to pursue the industry. So, by listening to this program, which will run every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will learn from me and my guests the best way to get started and or get more work in the acting and modeling industry. And with the 26-plus years I've been working as an actor and a commercial model, I'll share with you in an honest and practical way the best way to enter or advance a career on a part or full-time basis. So if you have any questions during the show, feel free to type them in if you're online. Or if you're listening on your phone, you can call me at toll-free at 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. If for any reason you have problems reaching me during the show or some questions pop up afterwards, you can always contact me through my website, which is howtomodel.com. Well, we're just about ready to bring in our first guest, and actually we have two of them. And let me tell you a little bit about Laura LaRue, one of our guests. She's a professional model. She's based in L.A. And when Laura was just 13, she was discovered by an agent from ModelScouts.com, who ultimately signed her to Elite Model Management and L.A. Models. After working in Los Angeles for a short time, Laura received contracts with agencies in Singapore, Hong Kong, and Japan, where she traveled and worked for several months. Now she's 18, and Laura has worked for many clients, including Chanel, Prada, Nikki Hilton, Target, Verizon Wireless, Motorola, Sony, Ericsson, and many, many more. Laura is currently living in Beverly Hills and is going to college. So I'd like to also bring in Holly, who is Laura's mom, who was very much a part of this whole process. So let me welcome you both to the show, Laura and Holly LaRue.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, so nice to have you guys here. So let me start off by saying, I understand here you are, you're a 13-year-old kid, and I hope you don't mind me saying kid here, but that's pretty young. You're 13 years old, and you tell me you've got these thoughts, you want to be a model? Is that what's running through your head at that time?
Yeah, it was actually really random. I woke up one morning and just decided to go on the computer and Google modeling and how to get into it. And I stumbled across ModelScouts.com, and I started talking to an agent there. Mm-hmm. And I was sending in Polaroids and pictures and just kind of giving her a bunch of information, and it went from there.
Well, if I could even just back that up a little bit. So you find an agency, and you speak with them, and they ask you to send in Polaroids. So at this time period, they're still using Polaroids, which, as everybody knows, like today, Polaroids are you know, kind of like prehistoric dinosaur eggs where everybody shoots digitally today. So they told you specifically, like, what kinds of shots you need?
Yes. She wanted me to send in, frontal and back shots and profile pictures just to –
And this is with a two-piece bathing suit, I assume?
Yes, in a bathing suit and a bikini.
Okay. Because it's true. In the fashion world, people need to see body types. So, okay, so you send in the pictures, and what happens next?
Then she takes those Polaroids and, looks at them, and then she sets up my first photo shoot to see how I photograph professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my first photo shoot.
Where are you living at this time? Are you in California?
Yeah, I'm in Beverly Hills. I'm actually
As a 13-year-old, you were in California?
Oh, when I was 13, I was in California, but I was living in a town called Thousand Oaks.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's outside of L.A.
Yes.
And so it was the people at ModelScouts.com that actually set up the photo shoot for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you do a photo shoot. And Holly, what's going on in your mind at this time?
Well, when she first came to me and said she wanted to model, I was nervous about it because I mean, every mother thinks their daughter's beautiful, but I just didn't want her to be rejected, and I figured that everybody wanted to do this, and, you know, I just didn't want her to go through that. But she was pursuing it seriously, and so she went online and found this website, and they wanted these photos, and I said, wait, before you send your photos, because she's saying Polaroids. Everyone called them Polaroids, but they really were digital, and I think you sent them online, right, sweetie?
Yeah, I sent them online.
Yeah, so they weren't, like, really cool. They just called them that.
Got it. And then I
just was really, really skeptical and very nervous about all of it as a mother.
Absolutely. and you should be. I mean, you know, it can be a crazy business, and you do have to be careful and make sure that you're dealing with legitimate people. Okay, so you've got these shots. Now you're shooting with a photographer, and then people at ModelScouts.com, they take the photos, and what happens next?
So yes, after the photo shoot, then that's when we put a portfolio together. And, so I had to go through that process of even buying a portfolio, finding a professional looking portfolio book and putting those pictures in the correct order. And then my agent, my model scout sends me out on, meetings with all these different agencies in LA. And so they go through my book, and then they make the decision.
So they make the decision as to whether they want to start working with you or not?
Yes, whether or not they want to sign with me and watch me grow as a model.
So I'm curious. So when you go in there, what kind of questions do they ask? So you walk into a major agency. You're brand new at this stuff. You've done some testing with a photographer. And walk in. What do they say?
I was 13 at the time. I remember them asking me, if I was in school full time, if I had the time to go out on castings and work full time, and if I was really ready to commit to it. And then along with that, they check your measurements and, ask if you're willing to dye your hair and, just a bunch of various things regarding your appearance. They want to know about that too.
And how did you respond when they said, so what grade were you in at that time?
I was just going into my freshman year of high school.
Wow. And
yeah.
And so they said, hey, are you willing to, make the time to do the modeling? I assume you said yes.
I said, oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And how does it work for you, I mean, at that age? I know in the acting world, most of the auditions for kids take place after school. Certainly the bookings happen during school. Is it the same thing for the go-sees, which is the audition for models? Do they typically take place during the day, or do they normally take place after school?
Well, during the day, because when I was 13, it wasn't child modeling. I was going in there as, an older girl, and a lot of the time they didn't even know that I was 13. They thought that I maybe was 17 or 18, and
wow.
I was expected to be at castings whether they were during school hours or not. I had to take quite a bit of time off from school and make up that work, and it was a huge commitment.
Mm-hmm. So Holly, so at this point, Laura's getting ready to sign with so I assume you did you wind up signing with an agent in LA?
Yes, I went to Elite, and right away they said that they wanted to sign me.
Okay, so Holly, so at this point, you know, here all of a sudden now your daughter is not just doing a little extracurricular activity after school. I mean, this is like a real profession going on. She's a freshman in high school. How did you, you know, make this thing work so that she's able to stay in school and work on a regular basis?
Well, it was never an easy decision for me because I very much believe in your kid being in school full time, and she was into dance. She was into all of these things and very much into school, but this was totally driven by her. I was never the mom pushing it, and I just told her, okay, I mean, if this is really what you want to do, I'll be supportive. I don't have any other kids, and I wasn't married, so I was able to drive her around. I was able to do all of this with her. But I told her, you know, if this starts to affect your self-esteem at all, or I see your grades slipping, we're out, no matter what. You know, I made it very clear in the beginning, but honestly, I was very nervous about it every single step of the way.
Uh-huh.
Not something I was pushing, but she was so motivated and driven that she just was determined to make it happen, and I was supportive.
That's pretty incredible. I know we're going to be taking a break in about 30 seconds here. When we do come back, one of the things that I think would be fascinating for people to learn about is exactly how do you mix working full time, being a student? How do you make up all the work? So why don't we do this? We're going to take a short break. We will be coming back in about 2 minutes, and then we will continue talking with Laura and Holly about actually working as an adult at 13. Okay, we'll be back soon.
Sounds good.
Have you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today. You are tuned in to Model Talk Radio with Aaron Marcus, presented by ModelScouts.com. Do you have a question that we can answer for you? Call us toll-free in North America at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to modeltalk@modelscouts.com, and we can answer your question that way. Now, back to Model Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Model Talk Radio. This is Aaron Marcus, and I am talking with Laura and Holly LaRue. We were just beginning to talk about, as a freshman in high school, Laura is starting to work with Elite Model Management in L.A., and so I wanted to pick things up from there to discuss. So here you are, you're a freshman in high school. You get signed with one of the largest modeling agencies in the world, and so how does it go? Are you starting to get some work in L.A.?
I didn't really start working consistently until I came back from my trip to Asia. So before that...
Oh, wait a second. You got to back up here. Wait a minute. So you actually pretty much went from living in L.A. to going to Asia to start working, and then you came back to the States?
Yes.
Wow. You know, and it's so interesting because a lot of times you hear about that in the fashion industry, where basically a lot of the fashion models, and certainly you can, you know, let me know if I'm on track with this. They want the fashion models to get a tremendous amount of experience.
Yeah.
Throughout Europe and Asia, and then once you build up your book, you've got a phenomenal portfolio, then you come back to the States, and then you start, you know, working even more. So essentially, that's really what happened there.
Yes, that's what happened.
And how exactly does that work? Does your agent in LA, does Elite set up those contacts with other agents for you, or is it still from modelscouts.com that's setting up? How did you find the agents in Asia?
Modelscouts.com was who set me up to work in Asia.
Okay, so they made all the contacts for you with the agents there. So you went to Singapore?
Yes, I went to Osaka and Singapore.
Got it. Okay, so just because, you know, we hear about this, you read about it, but what I would love to learn, and I'm sure what a lot of people would love to hear about, is what are the real details here? So I'm assuming that at modelscouts.com, they're sending over your photos, the agents are liking what they're seeing, and they agree, okay, so we want you to let's just pick Singapore for right now. So we want you to come over and start trying to work in Singapore. How does it even work with airfare, with living expenses? How does all that stuff work?
With Singapore, what the deal was that they would pay for my airfare and for my living, and if I worked enough there and made enough money, then I would reimburse them for that. And then continue making my own money.
Got it. Okay, so they were fronting the money, and I'm sure that they would only do that if they are, you know, pretty confident that you are going to be able to, you know, to make the money back. Now, Holly, did you travel with Laura, or did she go by herself? How did that work?
No, I absolutely went with her everywhere, and they did not pay for me, so that expense was mine.
Okay.
But they did cover her, and then she ended up making enough to where, even after all my expenses, she came home with money and a full book of pictures, which was the goal. But yeah, I went everywhere with her, and I went on every single casting. I went to everything with her until I was very, very comfortable with her being able to navigate the whole system there.
And so you land in Singapore and they pick you up. Do they have model housing set up already where a lot of the models stay, or how did that work?
Well, in Osaka, there was a model apartment in which my mom and I were staying in a room that was, I don't know, roughly 10 feet by 10 feet.
Yeah.
And so that was really
at best.
Yeah, that was fun. Singapore was a better living situation. We were paired up to live in another model's apartment, and luckily she had a really beautiful apartment that was, we had our own room, and it was much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved a couple of times while we were in Singapore. We moved to another photographer's home and stayed in one of his rooms. So, yeah, we jumped around a little bit.
And so on a typical day, if you could just kind of walk us through the process, in the morning, do you get a phone call saying, okay, we've got, you know, a go-see? And just so that everybody knows, it's kind of funny. In the acting world, actors go on auditions. In the modeling world, we go on go-sees. And that just means that you go either to a photographer's studio or a casting facility and you're seen. So do you physically go to the agent's office? Do they call you? How does that work?
That was actually the most fun part, was waking up every morning. Or no, I think it was at night that we would get an email from the agency with a schedule for all of the models and what they were supposed to do the next day. So my mom and I would come home at night and check my email and look at my schedule of go-sees. And sometimes jobs were on the schedules. Everything was on was through email, and then we would plan our next day according to that.
That is incredible. So on a typical day, and I don't know if you can actually say a typical day, but I mean, would it be unusual for you to have, you know, 3, 4, 5 go-sees throughout the day, or?
Yeah, I usually had about 5 go-sees, and then. Yeah, I worked quite a bit there, especially during Singapore Fashion Week. That was extremely busy and so much fun. And yeah, my schedule was always packed.
And as far as getting to all the locations, are they pretty centralized or were you traveling all over the place?
Well, Singapore is very small, so and safe, and the subways are very clean, and you don't have to. Eventually, I learned the subway system. I mean, I knew it like the back of my hand, and I was able to go to everything, all my jobs and go-sees on my own. And sometimes it was an adventure. I would have to, you know, run through the subways and run. It'd be pouring rain, and I'd go to a fitting, and then I'd get all the way back home, and they'd say, oh, wait, we need you back here, and I'd have to run. I was just about ready to, you know, sit back and watch a movie, and I had to run back, and it's pouring outside. I mean, it was never a dull moment, to say the least.
So I guess also you must have had to have brought tons and tons and tons of wardrobe just because you never, you know, you never knew what was going to be needed for the day.
Right. Oh, I definitely did a lot of shopping while I was there.
Well,
oh, so you bought
a
lot there. Got it.
Can I just step in for a second here, because this is kind of funny. When we started in Japan, we had all our winter clothes, and then they switched us up and sent her to Singapore, and we had to box everything up back home, and in Singapore, it was like 90 degrees.
Yeah, it's tropical.
So we had to buy a lot of clothes just to get by there. Mm-hmm. We didn't plan on that change of weather. It's huge.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's pretty unbelievable. Well, Luke, we are going to be heading to a break in about a minute and a half. I'm finding out that we actually have a couple more minutes so we can keep going here. So I'm curious. So you would actually go to the go-sees, and then you would get information. You've got the booking. And then do you have – like I know in the States, and something I was thinking about talking a little bit later in the show are vouchers, and these are – invoices that models use. Is it the same kind of process when you're at the job itself? Do you have a voucher that, you know, you send back to your agent?
Yes, you have to bring your voucher book to every job and have the client sign it and fill everything out and then you bring it back to your agent and then they take it from there and yeah, it's actually very easy. It's you get used to it after a couple of jobs.
Now, I know in the commercial modeling world, at least in the States, it typically can take up to 90 days to get paid for a job. In you know, when you're working in Asia, how does that process work?
I think it was about the same. It's different with every job. I mean, sometimes clients pay you right away, and then sometimes they take a very long time. I mean, I've done jobs where I haven't gotten paid for a year until a year afterwards. And so, I mean, you just stay on top of it, and you keep, you know, bugging your agent about it and keeping them on top of it. And, I mean, they're supposed to do that for you. But, yeah, you've got to make sure that you know, that the clients are as punctual as possible.
And so how does it work? Is money, because, you know, now we're talking about you're in a foreign country, is money just deposited into a bank account and so there is an exchange that takes place, or how exactly do you work things out as far as currency goes?
I don't know. Mom, you would know better about that. I mean, I'd kind of let you handle that when I was that age.
Yeah. Well, they pay you in their currency, so in Singapore, it's Singapore dollars, and it all goes through the agency, and then you get a check from the agency, and So she had money coming in even after we got home because of the clients that were late paying, and that always comes from the agency.
Okay, so you would get a check from the agent.
You never get paid directly from the client.
Right, so you would get a check from the agent, but that's in U.S. currency, and then you just take it and did you have a bank account set up wherever you were living, or were you just traveling around with tons of checks?
That was kind of tricky because there's a whole tax situation that goes on, and I can't remember exactly how we handled that. I'm pretty sure that we transferred it over to U.S. dollars when we were in Singapore and then came home with it.
Got it. Well, listen, we're going to be taking a break right now. And what I would love to do when we come back is kind of follow your trip here from, you know, spending time working in Asia, making it back to the States. And if you do have any questions at all, feel free. You can call us at 1-866-472-5788. And look forward to talking with you in about 2.5 minutes right after the break.
Sounds good.
Have you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, and I am talking with Laura and Holly LaRue. We were beginning to talk about having tremendous success in the Asian market. Hey, I've got a question for you, because a lot of times people hear the term editorial, they hear runway. People understand what runway modeling is all about. Hey, would you be able to explain to everybody, what exactly does editorial work mean?
Editorial work is basically, if you're flipping through Vogue magazine and you see an editorial, it's meant to showcase new designer clothing, really. And the models are typically wearing a bunch of different designer clothing. And editorial is very high fashion and edgy, and you'll see some unique-looking models, generally.
Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's interesting, in commercial modeling, which is what I'm more accustomed to, when we're talking about editorials, these are not ads in magazines, but actually these are photos that go along with an article. So, like, for instance, if there's an article about alcoholism and teenagers, well, you might see a teenager, you know, lying on the floor with a bottle next to them. That's an editorial. And maybe you can share this with the listeners. In the commercial modeling world, we get paid very little money for editorial work. It's not uncommon to get half of our hourly rate or even less than that. I was always told that for the fashion industry, editorial work is you get paid less than other types of jobs. Did you find that to be true as well?
Definitely. Sometimes you're not getting paid at all for editorial work.
Strictly for the exposure.
I think the most I got paid for an editorial was maybe $300.
And I was told that even when you're on the front cover of a magazine, a fashion magazine, that typically you're getting paid, you know, very little money, and it's really to let people see you, and you'll have better chances of, you know, being recognized and then landing the bigger contracts and, you know, in the fashion world. So that's why people, you know, typically do that kind of work.
Right, you get exposure.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said, right, you get exposure, so you're willing to do it for little, no money.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm just wondering, so you're living, you know, in a house, there are lots of, or, you know, an apartment, there are lots of other models from this particular agency there. Did you find that people were, I assume they were from all over the world, or were they primarily from the U.S.?
They were from all over. We had friends from Australia, a lot from Russia, I had one of my good friends was from Croatia, and then some were from L.A. And others from New York. I mean, they're really from all over the world.
And did you find that people were generally, you know, nice to each other? I mean, you hear, you know, and I don't know if these are just generalizations or crazy stuff about, you know, the catfighting and people, you know, doing things to make it more difficult for the other models. Or did you find that actually people were very nice to each other and helpful?
I found that everybody was very nice. I have never in my 5 years of working in this industry, I've never had an issue with another model. I've seen very little cattiness, and that's actually surprising because I was expecting to see that as well. But no, I never really saw that. Everybody was really helpful with each other, and you know, when you're all from a different place and you're all kind of new to, you know, I'm talking about Singapore in general. I mean, it's everybody was really new, and so they all wanted to help each other, and we kind of became one big family. And I still talk to all my friends that I was working with there.
I was going to ask you, you know, whether you've been able to maintain, you know, relationships with those people since it's been so many years.
Yeah, we still, I mean, we got each other's contact info, and we're friends on Facebook, and we just check in with each other every now and then, and yeah, I think that's really nice.
That's cool. So how did it work as far as school goes? I mean, you're still a high school student at this point, right?
Yeah, I was, I think I had just turned 15.
I'm sorry, that's still just mind-boggling. I guess I'm thinking, like, when I was 15 years old, the thought of, you know, working in a different country, it's just kind of mind-boggling to me. So,
yeah.
Holly, how did you work it as far as classes go? I mean, did you have all the work that was needed, or what was going on educationally at that point?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, Holly. Yeah, I was wondering, you know, as the mom, how are you maintaining school for Laura at this point?
Yeah, she got to where she was so busy that I was taking her out of school every single day, and you just can't do that. They never gave us any trouble, but she just could not maintain it. I mean, it's just impossible. So she had to switch to independent study for a while, where you can go in once a week and you get all your homework and you do everything on that one day, and then the rest of the time is yours. And
is that a lot different than homeschooling? Or
it's different because it's through the public school system.
Oh, okay.
So we worked with her high school to do this, and mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how long, but she did that for quite a while, and it worked great because it just, then we were free. I was always juggling everything. I had to go meet with her counselor all the time and sort of be apologizing, and can we at least, you know, I was working with them all the time. It was very difficult. We shifted gears and went to independent study, and that was the answer for her. And mm-hmm. she did really well with that. And then she could just take her work to the jobs, and that was really successful. So that's how
and,
we...
And how about working overseas? Did you still bring work?
Overseas, they wouldn't cooperate with us at all. She had to withdraw altogether. It was very nerve-wracking. And then re-enroll and catch up and double up when she got back. And
my guess would be, though, when somebody gets the kinds of worldly experiences that Laura got, it probably made the classes much easier. I'm sure that you were probably so much wiser than any of the other students who, you know, basically just, you know, their life evolved around high school. And here you are, you're working in Asia as a model, you know, essentially living on your own.
Yeah, I felt like I grew up a lot more when I got back.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I felt like I had grown up a lot more once I had gotten back, and I was, yeah, I think it was definitely worth it in that sense.
Now, did you find, because and now you were in Asia for, was it 2 months?
3 months.
Three months. And so at some point you decided to come back to the States?
Yeah, I was getting a little homesick towards the last couple of weeks, and they wanted me to continue working. I had jobs that I had booked, but I was ready to come home at that point.
Mm-hmm. And so when you came back home, then you started working again in the LA market?
Yes, that's when I started working consistently and booking a lot more jobs. A lot of editorials and a lot of runway as well.
And did you find, is it a very different kind of experience working in the States as opposed to working in Asia?
Not really, actually. I mean, the clients are different, but I mean, the system and the strategy that they use, that the clients use to book you on the jobs, it's all the same. I mean, yeah, I would say it's all very, very similar.
But how about even as far as working on the set? I didn't know if there were just different styles, whether one feels more relaxed to you. I mean, even comparing New York and LA, you know, whether there's just like a certain kind of atmosphere on a set, you know, in a photographer's studio that whether it really is virtually no different from working in Singapore or Los Angeles or New York, or, you know, is there a different style that takes place, and, you know, depending on the market that you're working in?
Yeah, there's definitely, I guess there's a different style. The people in Asia, all the you know, the team, the makeup artists and the hairstylists, they were all very, very excited to be working and grateful and I never had an issue with any of the clients. And I would say the same for LA, but just a little bit more, there's a little bit more, you know, cattiness in LA compared to Singapore, definitely.
Mm-hmm.